Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are God, our family are falling apart, our family. We as a nation have a total faith.
Oh Lord, forgive us, heal our land.
This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio. I do hope each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, that you gave God all the praise, all the gratitude that He Himself truly deserves. Amen. Today, our topic is we must fight. A lot of times we hear, you know, the scripture, we must contend for the faith that once was given unto the saints. But what does that really mean? What are we really saying? We hear the scripture, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. But again, what does that really mean? Well, we're going to discuss that today and see if we can get just a little bit more clarity on how we can truly apply those scriptures to our lives. Again, this is Pastor Ross on Blog Talk Radio, If My People. And if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can give us a call at 516-531-9550, or you can log in at Blog Talk Radio. .com/RRL345. Right now, for your listening pleasure, we got a few songs for you. A little bit of praise and worship this morning with Samuel Mattas, Sinash, Myron Butler and Levi, and Charles Jenkins, just to start us off. Enjoy. And remember, I don't own any of the rights to this music. It's just for your listening pleasure. Back after the music.
I got to tell you my story, 'cause at the end of the day, Yeshua must get the glory. Been a couple places in my lifetime. I've been exposed to so many things along the way. Been through heartbreak and betrayal, I've done my share of wrong. Walk down the road and them up the hill, we singing the same old song. But one day I met the well of living water, revive my thirsty soul, put me on this path, yeah. I didn't even know that I was empty on the inside. Now I am glowing and it's very hard to hide. Oh no, no. Now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm not the richest man in the land, but I've got the greatest pearl. Them say, somehow you're looking so. I say, I have a secret to tell. If you want to live like me, start drinking from the well. For the sweet, but no, I don't have to search no more. It's nice than anything I knew before. It's sweet, let me introduce you to the cure. I could have been like you with hatred in my heart, just plotting revenge. I could have been like them, just chasing the hype again and again. I could have taken my life and all of my pain would come to an end. Cause deep down inside, I needed a friend. Till one day I met the well of living water. Give me purpose for life, put me on this path, yeah. I didn't even know that I had greatness on the inside. Now I'm growing and it's very hard to hide. Oh, now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm not the richest man in the land, but I found the greatest pearl. Them say, Sam, how you looking so? I say, I have a secret to tell. If you want to live like me, start drinking from the well. Cause it's sweet. Now, every song that I'm bringing forth is because of you. Every land that I'm flying to is because of you. Oh, and every happy tear I cry is because of you. You better believe me. Every song that touches it, cause I'm drinking from the well. Now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. The richest man in the land, but I found the greatest pearl. Them say, Sam, how you looking so? I say, I have a secret to tell. If y'all want to live like me, start drinking from the well. Cause it's sweet.
Chosen generation,
ha.
Called It doesn't matter when the sea down. See his glory. might as well put your hands together.
All right. This means war. That was Charles Jenkins. This means war. Before that, Myron Butler and Levi. Stronger. Before that, we had Sinash. I know who I am. And starting off the set, we had Sweet by Samuel Mattis. Remember, I don't own any other rights to this music. I just play it for your listening pleasure. Again, this is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. If my people. And today's topic is we must fight. And as I said previously, what does it mean when we say, you know, at June 3, that we must fight, that we must contend, but not only contend, that we must earnestly contend. What does earnestly mean? Earnestly, the definition of earnestly means with sincere and intense conviction. I mean, you ain't playing about this thing. You dead serious, you know, and whatever it takes, that is what you're going to do to win the fight. But what are you fighting for? You're fighting for your salvation. Remember, this is the salvation series. We're still talking about salvation. Last week, we talked about idols. The week before that, we talked about what real salvation was. What does it truly mean to be saved? And all of this is a part of it. Because remember, I told you in week one that it just because once you confess Christ, then the fight begins. See, because you have been caught up in sin all these times prior. So you think the enemy is just going to let you slip out of his hands, slip out of his grasp just that easily, and the rest of your life is going to be all hunky-dory? No, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be telling us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That we have to fight, that there is an adversary, a very real adversary that is fighting against you to keep you out of the presence of God, to keep you from doing the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, to even keep you from confessing Christ and coming into a real relationship with him to know indeed who he is. See? He's trying to stop you. That's why Paul told us to fight the good fight. And why they admonished us in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. That we fight not against carnal things. We're not fighting our brothers and sisters in the physical. We're fighting the demonic spirits that has influence over them, that cause them to hate, that cause them to gossip, that cause them to lie, that cause them to tell every manner of evil against you falsely. And they know they're lying. Everybody got people like that around them. They got jealous people around them. You have envious people around you who don't want and don't like to see you succeed. A lot of times it's family members. It's those closest to you, the ones who are supposed to love you. Because how else can the enemy get to you except that he gets to you by those who are closest to you? Who did he use to betray Jesus? He used Judas. Judas was the money holder. Judas ran all the errands. So he had the ability and the opportunity to betray him, to betray his master, to betray the one he said that he loved, to betray the one who he said that he would follow. Because the enemy gave him a vision in his mind that what Jesus was saying, that he had come, that the scriptures might be fulfilled to restore man, to redeem man back to God. See, he said it, and he said it when he read Isaiah 61, he said, I have come to set the captive free, to set you at liberty. Thought it meant that, okay, we finna rage up a war as God had did in the Old Testament with Moses and the Israelites, and when they went out against the Amalekites and the Hittites and all those other armies. They thought that it was going to be a physical fight, but Christ came so that we could retake our place in God, our spiritual place in God, which we lost when Adam ate of the fruit. Because he had dominion over everything. He was made in the likeness of God. And that's what it means. It's not these fleshly bodies that we have to walk around in the earth with to be recognized by each other. But it is a spiritual thing. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. If they're principalities and high places, we know no man is there. It is a spiritual thing. And just as we can't see God, we can't see the enemy except it on with our spiritual eyes. You ever get a feeling you be around somebody And you just say, ooh, it's something, it just ain't something right about that person. See, that's your spiritual man talking. Everybody say, you know, some people say, oh, it's just your conscience. No. Your conscience tells you about you. It doesn't tell you about somebody else. Your conscience tells you about you. It tells you what you need to fix. It doesn't tell you about somebody else. Your spirit, see, as it says in 1 John, it says, test the spirit by the spirit to see if it is of God. Your spirit reaches out and tells you there's something not right about that person or not right about that place. There's a demonic presence or a demonic spirit, an adversary that fights against your spirit, that fights against the living spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that dwells in you, the Holy Ghost, see, that warns you that it's just not something right about this place. It's just something not right. It's spiritual warfare because you can't see it. But you just, you know, some people say, some of the old people used to say, and you may have said for yourself once in a while, something just don't feel right. See, that's your spirit man reaching out and warning you. See, he's telling you to earnestly contend, to contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints, that insight that God has given you when he warns you that the enemy is trying to destroy you. So how do we wage the good fight? By reading his word, in constant prayer, in constant warfare, tearing down those strongholds, everything that is in us that is not like God. Because remember, we were made in his image. We were made spirit first. Now we're just spirit once we have received Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost to endue us with power to overcome all the powers of the enemy. A lot of people think that once you get saved, once you confess Christ, that, you know, the enemy doesn't have any power. Yes, he does. That's why you have to fight. That's why you have to not get weary in well-doing. That's why he tells us, I will never leave nor forsake you, for lo, I am with you always. I will fight for you. He says that more than one time throughout the word of God, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I will fight for you because it's not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. And we have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that these strongholds might be torn down, because only when we are recognized in him as one with him are we able to overcome every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. You see? Because it's easy to be deceived. Eve was so easily deceived by an inner thought that she already had. Because he asked her in Genesis, he said, is it true that God told you you cannot eat from the trees in the garden? You know, God didn't say that. She said, no, God didn't say that. She knew very well what God had said. She knew very well what God had said. He said no, because she repeated it back to him. He said we can eat from any tree in the garden except the one that is in the midst of the garden. So she knew. It was not like she didn't know. She knew. But she kept talking. She should have left it right at that. She said what she said and leave it right at that. But sometimes we get caught up in conversations that we don't need to be in. We get caught up in conversations we don't even need to be in. But she kept talking. Rather than leaving, rather than going on about her business, you know, saying that, you know, okay, he said that we could eat from any tree except for the tree in the midst of the garden. But she kept talking after she said this. She even explained that they couldn't even touch the tree unless they would die. When she said that, that was the end of it, because she said what God said. But the serpent kept on talking. She kept on listening. And he said, contrary to what the word of God had already spoken to her. He said, girl, you ain't going to die. God lying. She should have known God is not a man that he should lie. What he told her, he said, because, you know, God know that when you eat from that tree, girl, listen, when you eat from that tree, let me tell you, you're going to be just like God. That's what he don't want you to know. And how do you bait somebody? You bait them with the very desires of their heart. And that's what it was. He baited her with the very desires of her heart. Because she already had a longing to eat from the tree, but the only thing that was keeping her from eating was knowing that she was going to die if she ate from that tree. Now, who wants to die? Nobody wants to die. It wasn't her love for God. Because it was Adam that walked in the cool of the day and communed with God every single evening. Eve got the word from Adam. Adam was her head. But she didn't even know her place, or she didn't even understand her place, because the two of them were one, which made them equal. But she couldn't understand that. She wanted more than what she was purposed to be. See, that's greed. Remember Galatians 5 and 17? It names the 17 works of the flesh. See, all these things come out of your flesh. That desire, that greed, the longing to know more and be more than what you are or what God has purposed for you to be. His word tells us to be content. But then, because he kept talking to her, and because she stayed in the conversation, she began to look at things that she never should have looked at. And lust after things, another 17 works of the flesh, lust. And lust after things that were never meant for her. Because why? She kept talking. She kept talking. And kept listening. And eventually what happened? The spirit of lust, because remember, it's a spiritual thing. The spirit of lust encamped her. It caught a hold of her. Pastor Ross, what are you talking about? Previously, before she started the conversation, she had no desire to even eat from the tree. She was afraid to eat from the tree because she knew that she was going to die. But as she continued the conversation, her interest was piqued. So she wanted to know more. She stopped believing what in the previous time she had believed. She stopped believing that she was going to die. She stopped believing that anything was going to happen to her. Her interest was piqued. And the enemy kept talking to her. And in verse 6 it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Whoever told you that you weren't wise in the first place? That's just like name brand clothes and colognes and all of this stuff. People will convince you that you look better in a $500 pair of shoes than you will look in a $35 pair of shoes. Why? Who said you got to follow the crowd? Who said you needed to spend that much money to be a part of something while your car note behind or your mortgage or your rent is behind? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Lust. It's a spiritual thing. It's a thought first. That's why in Philippians it says, casting down every imagination and every thought that rises up against the will of God for your life. What does he tell us in Matthew? He says, he know we are in need of these things. Don't worry about them. I will give you what you need. But see, we get into that place where it becomes a want. It is no longer a need. It is a want. When you realize that a pair of boots is a pair of boots, that if you have on a pair of lugs versus a pair of Timberlands, your feet still warm as you walk in the store, as you walk through the snow or the wet or the cold. Your feet are still warm. That a pair of socks without a name on them, they serve the same purpose. I will give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. But when we get caught up in the lustful things of the world, when we allow the things that our eyes see, that's why the biggest enterprise in America is advertising. Why do you think you have all these commercials on Facebook and on the internet? And when you look up something on the internet, all of a sudden you're getting commercials and advertisements about that thing because they have algorithms that track your interests. And then what they do, they send you all of these advertisements, all of these commercials geared toward your interests. Why? So hopefully that they can get you to the point and convince you to purchase, convince you to go to the store. How many of you have been watching TV at night and then a food commercial come on, like maybe say for ice cream or Dairy Queen or Burger King or McDonald's, anything? You wasn't even thinking about those things. You already had dinner. You laid down to go to bed and now you say, oh, I want some ice cream. You're getting up in the middle of the night, driving to Burger King, driving to Wendy's, Baskin and Robbins, Graders, the grocery store, wherever, open to get what your eyes just saw on TV, but you're not hungry. It was a thought placed in your mind by those advertisers to cause you to move you in the direction that they were leading you. And that's what the enemy does. He gives you an idea, a thought. That's why it says casting down imaginations. Because you have to cast those things down. Because an imagination is just an image that you see in your mind. It is not the real thing yet. The manifestation comes when you get up, take your credit card, your debit card, your cash, and you go and purchase it. Or like Eve, you go, you look at the tree, you see that, okay, that's good, and it's going to make me wise. That's the imagination. You already wise. You're made in the image of God. How can you not be wise? He said, don't eat from the tree. And then what she does is she that spirit now is in her, that spirit of lust, see, is now in her. And she goes to her husband and convinces him to eat. See? That's why some people have a good talk game. They, you know, like they used to say, man, I can talk you out of your underwear. They say it draws, but, you know, see. And that's what the enemy did to Eve and Adam. Talk them out of their place in God that they realized they were naked. At first, they were naked, as the Bible says in chapter 2 in Genesis. It said they were naked and unashamed. There was no sin. So there was nothing for them to be ashamed about. It was an everyday natural thing. But when their eyes were open to both good and evil, see, to the machinations and the sins of the flesh. They were no longer all spirit, now they are flesh. They are walking in the manifestation of their flesh. Matthew 6 says, if you put my kingdom first and all of its righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. In Corinthians, he said, lust after the spiritual things of God, not after the fleshly things, which are only what? They are only temporary. And we know that at every funeral, it's ashes to ashes and dust to dust. That from which we came, we must return. But the spiritual things, they are what? They are eternal. See? And that's what Galatians was talking about. That's what Galatians was talking about when it was telling us, you know, to live by the Spirit. See? And not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. As it says in Galatians 5 and 16, it says, this then I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Both of these are contrary to one another. In other words, they fight against each other. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, war, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a whole lot. Whole lot of stuff that you can run into, and it's all the works of the flesh. It's all the works of things of that we use to go against people, to come against people. When God tells us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but if we have all of these spirits in us, if we are idolaters, if we're fornicators, adulterers, if we're unclean, if we walk in lasciviousness, then how is that showing love? Because that means we're going to do whatever we do, we can do to please our flesh. And it's not going to matter who we're going to hurt. We're going to be envious and jealous of people, which envy and jealousy can eventually come to murder. Because why would you murder your brother? Why did Cain murder Abel? Because he was jealous, because he gave a better sacrifice to God than he did. Hate leads to murder. We see that all the time in this day and time. People hate you just for the color of your skin, and they don't even know why they hate you. You ain't did nothing to them. You haven't done anything against them. So then we have to ask ourselves, what is the force behind that? What makes a man deliberately take the life of another man just because of the color of his skin, just because of his sexual orientation? That's that man's own problem. Whoever he's sleeping with, he got to work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And at the end of his days, answer to God. That's none of your business. You're supposed to love in spite of. But we come up with any reason these days to hate somebody, to want to take their life, to come against them. And these are all of these spirits. And it's once it's perpetuated, see, because Eve perpetuated that spirit, all she had to do was end the conversation. All she had to do was be obedient. All she had to do was walk away. But because somebody convinced you that the wrong thing is the right thing, you take it and run with it, and you cause the destruction of innocent people. not even realizing that you're walking contrary to God's will, because now you're convinced that this is what thus saith the Lord. You have taken, as the Bible says, you have taken an evil thing and caused it good. Let me say again. You have taken an evil thing and pasted over the evil and put good on it. You put the label good on it. Oh, it's good now. This is right now. Just because they make it a law, just because the nations or the Congress or whomever is in authority makes it a law, does not make it right. If it is against the will of God's word, that thing you need to walk away from. That thing you need not be a part of. If the whole world accepted it and the whole world go to hell, you mean to say you want to go too? No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to live and die in the righteousness of God's word. That which he has purposed for my life. That which he has ordained me to do. I'm not following you down to the path of destruction. And you know it's wrong. I remember growing up, case in point, good example. My grandma would have us working out in the yard and around the house and stuff. And we would have to wash everything during spring cleaning, wash the windows, take the window panes out, wash them, put them back in one by one. And we had to do it with the newspaper, the vinegar and water, and when we had Windex, Windex. But before we did that, before we put the water on it, we had to clean the dust off of it. We had to clean the dirt off first, because if we put the dirt on the window pane, if we put the water or the Windex on the window pane before we got the dust off, it just made it muddy and it made it harder to clean. We had to go through a double process then. We had to get all that dirt and mud and water off and then redo it, and it took longer when it was just easier just to take newspaper, wipe across it, the dry window pane, and then spray it with the Windex or put the vinegar and water on it. And then it was clean. Then it was sparkling. Then you could see the light through it. See, that's what it means, taking an evil thing and trying to make it good. That dirt, that sin is still in there. It is not clean. You might call it clean, but the evidence shows it is not clean. If it's against the word of God, the will of God, what that which God has said, then it's still evil. It's still unclean. And there is nothing you can do to make it clean. You only make it clean when you turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Change the way you see that thing. Change the way you accept that thing into your life. Yeah, it's going to be a process, and yeah, it's going to be harder for you to come back, because now you convince yourself that what the wrong thing is the right thing. And these are the things that we have to fight against, because so much goes contrary to the will of God, and they make it seem so enjoyable and so forthright that we might question in our mind, is that true? You know what the truth is. You have the word in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You know what the truth is. There's no need to question it. There's no need to doubt. Judas knew what the truth was. He knew he was walking with the Christ, but he was thinking that Christ was going to rise up and fight physically against Rome. And that was never his purpose. Don't get it conflicted. God's purpose for us and for his word is to go ye into all the land and preach this gospel, that men might be saved. He said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me by his spirit, not by any great thing that you do, because in and of yourself, you can't do that. Yeah, you might have a great talk game, but is it unto salvation? At the end of the day, after you get done talking, is anybody changed for the better? Is anybody's life better? Or is it just a temporary fix? Do they have a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just a good shout and a holler because that was a great sermon, Pastor Ross? Do they walk away with literal principles that they can apply to their life to affect a change? Is the Spirit of the Lord, as it says in Acts 2, did it pierce their heart? Did they say, how can I be saved? Or are you constantly telling them, oh, you need to be saved, you ain't living right? What is telling somebody you are not living right doing to change their life? See, we have to contend for that faith, that love, that unconditional love for God's people. That unconditional agape love that hides a multitude of sin, that even though we see what they're caught up in, we see the sin. Whatever it may be, we see it, but we look beyond that to the place where God sees them and how he sees them. Healed, delivered, set free, saved in a relationship with him. On a journey to his kingdom and for his kingdom, that old things are truly passed away, that they truly are a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new mind, new heart, new spirit. Can we see a sinful person who's still caught up in the lust of their flesh? Can we see beyond that? Or are we still judging people and condemning them for where they're at rather than being the light set up on the hill so they can see that, yes, God is indeed still with us. Yes, God is indeed still delivering his people. It can be done. It can be done. But it won't be done if we're not the examples. It won't be done if we keep compromising, if we keep saying that God, the opposite of what God's word is. Remember, it says to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the earnestly, sincerely, with intense conviction. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, who he wants to destroy. He's an adversary, and not a common adversary, but an enemy that comes against you. He litigates against you. He comes up with all kinds of reasons to come, all kinds of reasons, all kinds of ways, whether it's your past, whether it's your family, whether it's your children, all kinds of ways to get to you. And not only that, he is always accusing you. Beware of that. Always accusing. Oh, you ain't doing this right. Oh, did God really call you to be a pastor? How you going to be a pastor? Do you know where you come from? Are you really saved? Because you know you used to do this and you've done that. Always accusing you. Never telling you that Christ came and died for all of your sins. Old things are indeed passed away. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that if you make a mistake, if you mess up, grace and mercy, they are with me all the days of my life. He will never tell you to go back and read the story of David and all the sins that he got caught up in after Samuel anointed him to be king. This is God's hand chosen servant, his hand chosen king. And he committed adultery and slept with Bathsheba. Then he committed murder because he got her pregnant. He'll never go back and tell you. He'll never go back and tell you to read the story of Abraham and how he lied about Sarah twice. But yet each time he came out blessed. Why? Don't forget the scripture that said, if God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter. If you are in Christ, God will forgive you. It is your heart condition that he looks at. What did he say about David? He said David was a man after God's own heart. So even though he was caught up in the wrong, God knew his heart. See, we're not perfect beings. So the enemy will get us caught up at times, but if we can remember who our Heavenly Father is, we know that he has given us power over all the powers of the enemy, and every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy, everything that he tried to do, no weapon formed. No weapon formed against us shall what? Prosper. And every lying tongue that rises up against us, the Lord thy God will condemn. Many times we take the fight into our own hands rather than going to our Heavenly Father and say, God, this is where I am weak. Because remember, he says, when you are weak, then I am strong. I will make you strong. The enemy is going to go about his business. He's going to do whatever he can to convince you that the God you serve and that the word you preach and the word that you live by is a lie. Because that's what he told Eve. He said, oh, God, lying, you know, he knows that when you eat from this tree, you're going to be just like him, knowing good and evil. Dummy, you was already like him. You was walking in his spirit. He made you a spiritual being in his image. What are you doing? Why do you need more? Don't allow the spirit of greed and lasciviousness, the need to think that you need more than what God has already provided for you. Remember, we go from glory to glory. The closer we get to him, the more we stay in him, the more we obey his statutes, the greater we are in him, and the rewards are greater because we are not setting our eyes on the temporal, carnal things of this world, but on the spiritual things which no man can take away from us. See? But there are just times. There are just times because we are in the flesh when it don't feel like and it don't seem like God is coming through. That's when you remember you still got to praise him in the midst. See? In the midst of your sufferings. That's why, you know, he says, be sober. See? In 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant. That's the first thing he says, be sober. Sober means clear-minded, clear on the things of God, clear on what God has called you to do. Vigilant means that is an act of consistency, that this is what you're going to do every day. See, you're going to look, you're going to be searching, you're going to be watching to see every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. See, so you're going to govern both your inward and your outward man for modesty, for temperance. See, you're never going to be 100% secure or careless. You're going to always be suspicious of constant danger from your spiritual enemy. You're going to be watchful and diligent to prevent his designs on your life. Steadfastly resist him in the faith. Because as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as he is your Savior and God is God, there is nothing the enemy can do. He can't overturn your faith because you are secure in Christ. That is the one thing that we need to be secure in. But the things of this world, no, because they're going to fade away. And never get to the point where the Bible says we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. No, it is not us that wields the power in us, but it is through Christ. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this power to overcome all the powers of the enemy. It is not in and of ourselves, because if it was in and of ourselves, we would not have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We could decree our own righteousness. Because his design is to destroy your faith in God, to fill you with such consternation and doubt, to make you feel so low, give you the spirit of depression, depression, oppression, to look at the world and say, woe is me. And to eventually, once you've gotten all that negativity down on the inside of you, to reach out and say, where is God? Is there really a God? Because if it was a God, and some of us have said this before in our ignorance, not knowing who God was, if it was a God, God wouldn't be taking me through this. Not understanding that every trial and temptation brings us to be well grounded and resolute and steadfast in our faith. Because if we were never tried, we would never know what God could bring us out of. We know that he's gonna persecute us as well as try to deceive us. He warred against Christ. What makes you think that because you are Christ, he's not going to war against you? Long time ago, not long ago because I'm still living, but it used to be this show on TV, the Hatfields and the McCoys, and they made it into a cartoon as well. But they were war against each other just because of the name. The Hatfields didn't like the McCoys, and the McCoys didn't like the Hatfields. So they always fought against each other, but something happened. The daughter and son from each of the families fell in love with each other, and they wanted to get married, and it was a big ruckus. There was no resolution. A Hatfield couldn't marry a McCoy, and a McCoy couldn't marry a Hatfield. It was just against the law. So too is Christ. We can't be his bride and want to be married to the enemy. We can't call ourselves, you know, his bride, made in his image, walking after his precepts, calling ourselves a Christian and living contrary to what his laws were. 1 Timothy 1 and 18 says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, this is Paul talking, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, fight a good fight. This is a war. It's not a race, it's a war. And you need to be sober and vigilant every single day. Be aware of every tactic, every plot, every plan, every scheme of the enemy, of everything that is not like God that tries to come in and destroy your peace, take your joy, destroy your faith, whether it's a person, place, or thing. When people start calling you all out of the blue, want to know how you're doing, beware. What put you on their mind that they call you at such a time as this? What do they want from you? What do they really want? They know you're a pastor. They know you go to church. Why are they inviting you to the club? Why are they inviting you out to drink? Where is the invitation really coming from? What is the motive for that invitation, and who sent them? And be aware when people tell you, oh, God will understand. No, he won't. What did he call you to do? He said, put his kingdom first and all of what? All of its righteousness. He doesn't understand sin. He doesn't understand disobedience. He said, disobedience is as witchcraft. That's what he says. Disobedience is as witchcraft. So beware of those people that call you and try to tell you, to get you to go contrary to what God is calling you to do and telling you that God will understand. Because he won't. The only thing God understands is your obedience to him and that which he has called you to do. 1 Samuel 15:23, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee. See, that right there, and that means you got to understand. This was Samuel talking to Saul. Saul was king. The people wanted a king. So God chose Saul and made him king. And told him as long as he obeyed him, he would be king. Had one act, just one act of disobedience. But he thought that it was okay. And God said no. See, so the next time somebody tells you, okay, let's go do this, God will understand. Remember the scripture. 1 Samuel 15:23, no, he don't understand. Yes, there's grace and mercy. But there's also a thing as willful sin. Yes, you can repent. You surely can. And forgiveness is there. But remember, God don't understand. Only thing he understands is your obedience to his word. You're walking in purpose, that which he has called you to do. That's why he tells you to contend for the faith. That's why he tells you to remember the prophecies that went before on you, that you might war a good warfare, that you might fight a good fight. Because see, when he sent Christ to die, and Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told God, he's like, listen, man, I got to die for these evil people, and they don't even like me. And one going on his way to betray me right now. And you want me to die? You want me to suffer? You want me to be tortured for these people? Just so you can have a relationship with them again for real? He said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Because really, you know what, bro? This too much. You asking me to do a whole lot. But then he said, nevertheless, because the Bible said God sent an angel to comfort him because the charge was too important. What has God called you to do that is just too important for you to just drop, for you to just leave? Who's depending on you to walk in your calling, to do that which God has called you to do, that lies might be saved, that people might see and know that God is God? What is that important thing? It might not seem important to you, but to God, it is a very pertinent cause. Because it's not just about you. That's why Jesus had to say, nevertheless. Even though from day one, the enemy desired to kill him. He told Peter, you know, Peter, the enemy desires to sift you like wheat. He desires to kill you. He desires to take away your purpose. But I have prayed for you. How many know we got people praying for us? For our salvation, for our deliverance, for our protection. That they keep our name in the face of God, that God continues to heal, deliver, shield, and protect us. That they're warring a good warfare for the commission that God has given them. Go ye into all the land and preach this gospel. Don't preach me. I don't preach Pastor Ross. For what? It ain't about Pastor Ross. I'm just a vessel. And as long as I am obedient to God, I'll continue to be that vessel. I can't go my own way. I can't do what I wanted to do because, believe me, this was not my chosen profession. I tell my congregation that all the time. Be a pastor? Child, please. You who? Me? Really? No. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because it's not about me. It's about that which God has called me to do. That's why when times get perilous, when I don't feel like it and I don't want to, and I know some of you have been there, because this salvation walk ain't easy. And that's why I wanted to do a series on what true salvation is. Because many times people sugarcoat the word of God. People sugarcoat this walk in Christ. It is not easy. People have been killed just for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it still happens today. Don't let nobody fool you. People have been killed for preaching this gospel. So it's not only a fight in your mind. It is a physical fight. People are being killed every day. Not only abroad, but right here in the U.S. of A. For believing in Christ. I'm talking about true religion. By religious fanatics. Who convince them. This is the way, the truth, and the life. Drink this Kool-Aid. We going to see Jesus. The enemy, your adversary, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he'll use anybody to do that. See, because once you're cold in the grave, there, you can't go back and repent. You can't go back and say, oh, God, I made a mistake. See, that's why we have to test the spirit by the spirit to see that it is of God before we go following behind people blindly. Are they really teaching truth? Or are they teaching rhetoric? Are they teaching apostasy, a false doctrine? That's why Galatians 5 is so important, that we recognize those spirits, those works of the flesh, that any man teaches you contrary to the word of God is not of God. If he's teaching you to hate your brother because he's a different skin color, or a different ethnic race, or I should say different ethnicity. That would be the correct way to say it. But God didn't define us by all of that. He defined us as mankind. He made no differentiation between skin color. He made a differentiation between good and evil, those who followed him and those who didn't. But he gave us a pathway. He gave us a door. He provided us a redemptive savior to restore us back unto him. If only we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. And when people think about it logically, they say, oh, that don't make no sense. It's not supposed to. The Bible said God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. If he's God, he can do whatever he pleases, how he pleases. It's funny how people can believe more in the works of the enemy and the things that the devil say than the righteous things of God. It's so easy to flock to that stuff. Why? Because there are no boundaries in that. And people don't like, they really don't like being held accountable. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what Jehovah God does. He holds us accountable to live in a way, because we are made in his image and there's no corrupt thing in him. So if we are his, then we have to live like him. We have to live in the image of him that he created us in. We don't get to just do whatever we want to do. And call it Jesus, and call it Christ, and decree God wills it, you decree a lie. Now, I have a teller's watch, so that no man deceives you with slick words. Like I said, there's some people out there, they can talk you out of some stuff. Don't let them talk you out of salvation. Don't let them talk you out of your salvation. Ephesians 5 and 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Empty words. Just stuff to convince you to go contrary to that which God has said. That's why you have to guard your mind and your spirit and keep it in Christ Jesus. They said, let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, richly what? Richly dwell in me. Let me think like Christ, be like Christ. Take on the characteristics of Christ so that the enemy cannot deceive me, so that I don't get tricked. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Fight for it by the word of God so that you are not led astray by the cares of this world, by the slight of men. We saw a whole nation of people follow folks down the wrong path just because the leader said so, telling you that the wrong thing was the right thing. Now that they see the light, they want to say, I'm sorry, but you can't change what has already been done. You can get right with Christ, but what about those lives that were lost because of what you said? Because of what you did. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. I'm just stating the facts. Asking a question. Can you restore those lives? No. No. Let us not be deceived by the sleight of men, of those calling evil good. Let us continue to study the word of God and the will of God for our life unto true salvation. What thus saith the Lord and not what thus saith the man. Because the Bible says, serve God and not man. These are the last and evil days. And we can see how it's going to be when the Antichrist does arise, because people are lusting after themselves, lusting after the lustful thoughts in their mind for power, for money, for the satanic devices and lust of this world rather than for God's kingdom and all of its righteousness. And they're lost. That's why we have to be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be aware. Be conscientious. Pray always. Take on the full armor of God daily. And fight the good fight. That your works are pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ and not unto man. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. We talked about we must fight. And I do hope that this stimulated some thoughts, something for you to think about, and more so, something for you to act on. That you have a greater understanding and come into a greater relationship in Christ Jesus. We'll see you back here next Sunday, 12 noon. It's been a blessing. And God bless you all. Love you all. In Jesus' name. We're going to go out of here with Charles Jenkins. Once again, This Mean War. Remember, fight the good fight of faith. Come on.
You say you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't, you can't. Gotta say, you can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your prayer, break out your words. You gonna break out the praise.